Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached on Saturday, November 11th and Sunday, November 12th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby. The text for the day was Isaiah chapter 62, 1 through 7. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You all know how a fire goes. The same fire that once rages with light and heat and energy ends up as a pile of simmering embers, which then slowly melt away into ash. But as any expert in fire safety will remind you, one cannot simply step away from a pile of ashes quickly. For one gust of wind can cause fire to emerge again there from what appears to be a dead pile of pulpy particles. Most of the words given to the prophet Isaiah were words which spoke about a time where indeed it seemed like God's kingdom had exhausted all of its fiery energy and now laid in a pile of ashes. Yes, the fire had burned out, it seemed, on this whole plan of God's people living in the Promised Land. And yes, soon the Babylonians would trample over the ashy ruins of that once great nation. It was indeed a time where it seemed that perhaps the fire had been put out and would stay out. But prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah knew that they could not stand by and only sing a mournful dirge about what had been. Though there were times which caused them to be so persecuted for speaking the word that they desired to simply go silent, they knew that that was not their call. No, they had to speak. They could not remain silent. If they did not speak, the word would burn within them. And so they spoke. They spoke with the confidence that one gust of wind could cause fire to emerge again from those ashes. It could and it would burn again. That they believed according to God's promise. Isaiah prophesied that that fire would indeed ignite after the exile. God's kingdom, once called by one name, would now be called by another name at that time that the fire raged again. Yes, the glory of God, which had once rested upon the tribes of Israel gathered in the Promised Land, well, that glory would depart from there. But God's chosen ones, the remnant, they would still be gathered, but now they would be gathered under the headship of another whose name they would bear. Yes, the embers would burn again and turn into a fire. Many would feel its warmth. In fact, all of those whom God had chosen would be gathered into the warmth of this fire. All those who would be gathered into his kingdom would become like young women falling in love, their hearts melting at the thought of their beloved, their chief desire being that they would know their beloved as husband. And their husband, well, he would indeed rejoice in them. He would be enraptured with them like a young man is with his young wife. He would be the one to whom they would belong forever. Yes, Isaiah spoke about the day when Jesus would come. He spoke about the day when the kingdom of his Father, which had looked like a pile of cold ashes, would once again with a gust of wind be brought back to life. He spoke about how the message about Christ and his death and resurrection would be sent out among the nations and how all those who were his chosen ones would be gathered. The word about his life and death and resurrection would blow through the world as the watchmen appointed for the kingdom would open their mouths to break any silence. People would hear this word and their hearts would melt. Yes, they would desire that one who had come for them. They would desire that they could be his forever. And they would be given then that one who loved them endlessly. They would be married to him, so to speak, and take his name, and yes, the fire would rage. Perhaps as you look around today, you feel like the Church of God where we live seems to be nothing more than a pile of pale ashes. The church, which used to be such a great force in our country, now seems relegated to watch from the side as others who do not share our hope battle for control. The church, which used to be the center of the community, now has to beg for time and attention from the members of the community who are so distracted by every other endeavor going on. The church, which once was always looking to build something to accommodate those whom God was gathering, now struggles to fill the pews it already has. But today I want to tell you, don't just walk away from that pile of ashes. Do not just assume it will never burn again. Know that one gust of wind can bring it back to life. One gust of the gospel about Jesus can do just that. Yes, every time the word about Christ is spoken, just such a gust is stirred and sent. When missionaries are able to speak this word overseas because of the support of those who have sent them, this wind blows. When pastors are able to proclaim this gospel in their congregations and communities because of the congregations that call and care for them, the wind blows again. And yes, when you who know the relief and joy that comes from knowing what Jesus has done for you in his death and what he will do for you because of his resurrection, when you tell others of this comfort and hope, the wind blows. Yes, we desire that these winds would blow everywhere, across the globe and down the street we live in. We must, indeed, not be silent. We must let this wind blow. We must do it until the righteousness that has been given to the church by Jesus goes forth again in our communities as brightness, and her salvation given to her by Jesus goes forth as a burning torch. And no doubt different people are given different roles in this regard, but no one in Christ's body is without a role. Oh yes, missionaries are sent to various places near and far to proclaim the gospel where its hearing has been all too rare. Yes, I and other pastors are called to proclaim the gospel publicly for me here at Trinity and in our community. But you also have a role. You are to share the hope that was within you. You are to declare the glory of God among all people that you know. You are to invite others to come and see Jesus whenever you get the chance. Through such sharing, the ashes of Christ's church will be ignited. Hearts will be warmed in faith. God will gather those he has chosen. In this way, Jesus will wed himself to each person and to the entire church as a whole, becoming that bride's husband. Those that come to faith will go from being forsaken to being the delight of their beloved, a full member of the bride of Christ, married to the bridegroom, Jesus. On this Sunday that we think about missions, we of course remember the role that missionaries have been given by God and those who send them. We remain committed to their support. We remember the unique calling of pastors as one both called and sent by their congregation to preach the good news. We seek to care well for them and to encourage young men to consider this work. But we also remember that the mission remains ever close to each of us. Most of us interact with many different people every day. We bump shoulders with various people at school, at work, in the clubs we belong to, on the teams we play at the games that we go to. Sometimes you may become convinced that Jesus and his church could never appear to most of those people as anything more than a pile of burnt out ashes, as some sort of institution that used to be important but no longer was. But please, speak the good word to them. Speak the good news about Jesus. Tell them that they are sinners, but that Christ has died for them and rose from the dead, that he wants to give them life now and forever. Send forth the gust of the gospel, for then the fire may come and people may be gathered. But when or how? Well, of course, in one sense, whenever and however. But today, let me suggest something more concrete. When? Well, when you invite them into your home. Oh, you may have opportunity at work or school to share the hope that lies within you, but you will have a much better setting if you invite them into your home. Let them witness what the peace and joy of Christ actually look like in a very real setting where not everything is perfect, but everything is placed into his hands. And how? Well, remember that there are really three things that you need to share with these people. Tell them of the Father and the fall. Yes, that things were created perfect and that they are not perfect now, those people you're talking to included. Tell them then of the Son and salvation. Tell them that God in Christ has paid the wage for all sin through his death and resurrection. Yes, theirs included. And then tell them about the Spirit and the sanctuary. Tell them how that salvation and the faith that receives it are available for all in Christ's church, where His Holy Spirit is at work. Yes, that is available to them also in Christ's church. You don't have to tell them all of this in one visit, but do let these three thoughts be your overall guide to conversation with them. Don't get bogged down in details or debates. Try as best you can to get back to the basics, and especially get back to the gospel. I understand that in many ways God's church does not simply seem to rage with the energy it once did in the communities we live in. But God has told us that there is but one way to bring those ashes back to life. We must speak the gospel. We must breathe out that word about Jesus wherever we are. We must support others who do it in other places. Now, it is true, we do not have a specific word in the scriptures that tells us when such a fire might burn again in our area. But that does not stop us from praying constantly that that kingdom, that fire, would come among us, would come here where we live, that the ashes would be turned into embers and then into the flame, and then that that flame might warm the hearts of others, that His church, filled with His glory, might shine again as all of God's chosen ones are gathered. May God make it so soon among us. Amen.